Father God, thank you again that we can be here together. We thank you so much for your word, which is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. We pray that your word will penetrate us tonight. We pray that your word will convict us deeply more about who you are as the God of the universe and how we can best live for you. So please, Heavenly Father, grant us wisdom from this passage tonight and help us to see what you're doing and what you did in this story. And I ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. If you just excuse me for a moment, I'm just going to send a text message. Oh, now I actually might just play a little game of Snake on my phone. Do you know what? My phone's actually stopped working. That's a bit annoying. It doesn't help that it's not turned on, but you know what? I think it's time to upgrade and get a new phone. Oh, how about this one? All right. Oh, this one's got Facebook. So, yep. I'll take a bit of a selfie. Yep. Very good at that. And also a bit of Angry Birds. Oh, yeah. Well, do you know what? This phone is starting to play up again as well. Oh, very annoying, these phones. Time to upgrade again. All right. This one's turned on, which helps. Is there any cricket on today? Check the NRL. A bit of stick cricket. You know what? This phone's starting to get a bit dodgy as well. I'm sure I'll be due for another upgrade very, very soon. Now, it's frustrating. It's frustrating when you have a phone, isn't it? And your phone suddenly decides to stop working. And then you have to go to the shop and negotiate a new phone plan. And this is essentially what happens with our phones. They don't work like this clicker. That's what happens. I'm going to adjust this microphone because I feel like I don't have it properly on my head. No, I don't have it right. There we go. I always feel like I'm going to swallow it. This is what's happening with the phone. It's out with the old phone, in with the new phone, but the same problems keep reoccurring, don't they? Well, that's my experience with phones, and I'm sure you've had similar experience. And that is exactly what is happening in the Noah story here. It's out with the old earth, in with the new earth, but the same problems of sin continue to reoccur. The exact same thing happens all over again. And so the big idea in the story is this. In this new creation, the same problem of sin remains. God has flooded the earth and started over. Yet human nature has not changed. And this is demonstrated through the sin of Noah and Ham in the passage that was read to us. And it's very, very surprising, isn't it, that sin comes from the most unlikely person in this story. The sin comes from Noah. And just when you thought that perhaps Noah could be the one, Noah could be the one that was going to crush the serpent, the Genesis story takes another twist and turn. You see, the flood did not completely eliminate the problem of sin. The sin was still inside Noah on the ark. The sin was with Noah and his sons. It's a bit like when you hear about a cruise ship, and I hope this hasn't been your experience if you've gone on a cruise ship, or will be if you go on one in the future. But you're on a cruise ship where someone gets like a gastro bug. And then everybody, a lot of people on that ship get sick. Well, there is a sickness on the ark, and that sickness is that sin is still there inside Noah and his sons and their wives. And who knows, maybe those on the ark got a bit of a gastro bug as well, living with all those animals. And so what we are looking at here is the sequel to the Noah story. And unfortunately, like lots of sequels, it's never as good as the original. In the original, we had Noah, the flood, and the ark. But in the sequel, well, sin strikes back. And I've been reading the children's Bible to Noah, and it's really interesting in the children's Bible. Oh, did I say to Noah? Yeah. Thinking about Noah. Thank you. Reading the children's Bible to Grace. And when I got up to the Noah story, the story ends with Noah and the beautiful rainbow. And that's it. But the children's Bible actually fails to mention that after that, Noah got drunk and naked as well. But that's what happens. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. And so this is how the story flows. So in this new creation, the same problem of sin remains. First of all, we see how Noah gets drunk. We see how Ham embarrasses and humiliates his father. And we see how Shem and Japheth provide a covering for their father. Now, we get a few clues in verse 18 or 19 that things are not going to be all that great. So verse 18 to 19. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the whole earth. Now, these couple of verses give us a couple of clues that some big things are going to happen. First of all, the writer highlights to us, and it's in brackets here, that Ham was the father of Canaan. Now, why is that significant? Well, it is significant because Canaan is a nation that becomes the future enemy nation of God's people. This is where the enemies of God come from. Canaan is a place where sin flourishes, idolatry and sexual sins. And the Canaanites were the one of the people that were occupying the promised land when they had to conquer it. So we look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you. The Canaanites come from the descendants of Ham. And so one of the reasons of this passage is to tell us where one of God's enemies or the people of God's enemies come from. We also see in verse 19, it's mentioned that the people will be scattered. Now this is both a good and bad thing. It's good because that was part of God's original plan for people to be scattered all over the earth, to fill the earth. But it's bad because people don't do this out of obedience. God has to force his hand again. It's because of sin that people are scattered. And there's more about this in the Tower of Babel story that we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. But we see a couple of clues that in this post-flood new creation, things are not going to be all that great. Now we get to the juicy part of the story. And I'm not just saying juicy because Noah had too much juicy wine. We read verse 20 to 23. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backward and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father naked. Now, Craig mentioned last week how "but" is a favorite word that is used in the Bible. This is a different kind of "but" we're talking about here. It's Noah's "but." And I'm guessing this "but" would have been a little hairy and scary as well, given the pictures that I've seen of Noah. And you could imagine the headlines if something like this happened today. Prime Minister of new nation gets drunk and naked. You could imagine the cheeky headlines. Newsflash, Noah bears all. If Noah decided to do this at the cricket, he'd get a fine, wouldn't he? He'd get $5,000 fine, he'd get a night in prison, and he'd get kicked out of the stadium for life. But wait, there's more. Noah has gone from being the most righteous man of his time to the butt of all jokes. However, on a more serious note, did Noah sin? Now, there are some that would argue that Noah did not sin. There is no commandment at the time to not get drunk. Noah didn't harm anyone by his drunkenness, these people would say. However, I would say that people did get harmed. His sons were put in a very awkward and compromising situation. His grandson was cursed, and a whole nation was affected because of his sin. So I think people were affected, but no, they would say there was no immediate harm. Some might even say, well, Noah did not sin because he did not get punished by God in this passage. So these people conclude that Noah was not a sinner, but just a very foolish person. That Noah was not a sinner, but a very unwise individual. And that Noah could have perhaps learnt from this proverb that comes in the Bible a little later on: wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. However, I want to be clear tonight that Noah sinned. Let me say that again. Noah sinned. You see, Noah had a little hobby. He was planting a vineyard. And after he drank some of its wine, he got drunk and passed out. It might have been accidental, we don't know, but he still got drunk. He lost control of his body, and he was in a compromising and vulnerable situation. Noah sinned. And this is most clear in the New Testament in Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The Bible is also clear that drinking is not a sin, but getting drunk is a sin, as it says in Ephesians. And why is getting drunk a sin? Because it takes away the ability for somebody to control their body. And our bodies are a gift from God. And therefore, when we are drunk, how can we glorify God with our bodies? And we know the other effects of alcohol as well, don't we? When people drink, it affects their speech, People generally swear more when they're drinking. And it affects our actions and judgments and reflexes as well, doesn't it? Like, you don't drink and drive. And we need to take serious note here that the first time wine is mentioned in the Bible, there is chaos and carnage and consequences. We need to take serious warning what has occurred here. So Noah has sinned. However, we also read that Noah was not punished for his sin. Now, there is no reason that the passage gives why he is not punished. And the only logical reason is that God showed Noah grace. Just like God shows grace to each and every one of us when we sin through his Son, Jesus Christ. God showed Noah grace. And in Romans 3, it talks about how Jesus died for people's sins in the past. So Jesus died for Noah's sin, just like he died for our sins as well. Ham, on the other hand, is punished. And Ham is not the father of all who ate Ham, by the way, in case you're wondering about that. He's the father of Canaan, isn't he? And in this narrative, we read that he is punished. There are consequences, immediate consequences, for what he did. And so why is Ham punished and not Noah in the text? Again, we don't know. Is it because Ham's sin is worse than Noah's? Well, that wouldn't make sense, would it? Because we generally think drunkenness is a worse sin. But we also know that that's not true as well, because we know all sin is equally sinful in God's eyes. Again, the passage doesn't tell us why Noah is not punished and Ham is. But perhaps one reason we read about Ham's punishment is because we tend to maybe make a bigger deal about bigger sins and not so much bigger deal about what we think might be lesser sins, but still equally deserving of God's wrath and judgment. And so Ham has done two things wrong here. He has dishonored his father by not coming to his immediate aid. It was not Ham's fault that Noah got drunk, but he could have handled things differently. We look at how Ham confronted this situation, and then we look at how his two brothers handled the same situation very differently. And so he could have acted differently and been quicker to cover his father's shame. Ham also gossiped to his two brothers as well, which perhaps led to Noah being further embarrassed and humiliated by the sin that he did. Ham's told the whole world, all eight people know that Noah was drunk and naked. But not to make light of a serious topic, he didn't immediately do something for his father's dignity. Instead, he goes blabs to his two brothers. Guess what Dad's doing? He's dishonoring his father, and he's adding to Noah's humiliation. And so what are we to do? What lessons do we learn from Ham? Well, first of all, we need to honor our parents, don't we? However, if your parents are causing you to sin, or your parents are asking you to not follow Jesus, then we put Jesus first and our parents second. And honoring our parents doesn't mean that we ignore the sin of our parents and that their sin is excused. But we are still called to honor our parents, whether they're believers or unbelievers. And we also need to be careful that we're not quick to gossip like Ham. His first reaction was to tell somebody else about the sin that he saw. And what do when you see somebody else in sin, or you hear about somebody's sin? Is your first reaction to go tell somebody else about it in a gossipy kind of way? I think we need to avoid playing the game Christian Chinese whispers. Now, there may be context where it's appropriate to tell somebody else about somebody else's sin, because you need to get somebody else's wisdom and advice about the situation. But you're doing it with a motivation of love and not gossip. And although the passage is not explicit about this, we're left with the impression that Noah was left very embarrassed and humiliated by the actions of his son Ham, by being too quick to blab about what happened. Shem and Japheth, on the other hand, they are motivated by love, and they see the importance of honouring their father in this situation. We read again in verse 23. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backward and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father naked. What Shem and Japheth did for their father was extremely honourable to him. They got a garment, they went in backwards, and it's mentioned twice that they went in backwards. And it shows that they took the situation seriously. They tried to honour their father as best as they could. It's also interesting that they covered their father's shame. And perhaps we're reminded of what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, where it says this: above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Out of love, they covered their father's nakedness. And think back to Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve were caught in sin, and how God covered their nakedness and shame as well. And it's exactly what Jesus does for us, isn't it? We know that when we sin, when our faith and trust is in Jesus, he covers our shame as well. It doesn't mean that Noah's sin is excused here. It doesn't mean that our sin is necessarily excused, but God covers it because of his son. Love covers a multitude of sins. And then Noah wakes up from his hangover. And this is what he says in verse 25. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves, will he be to his brothers." Now Canaan is one of the sons of Ham, and he is cursed as a consequence here. And then he also says in verse 26 and 27, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be a slave of Shem. May God extend Japheth's territory. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be a slave of Japheth." And then this verse leaves us with the ultimate high: death. Death remains a reality in God's post-flood creation, just like sin remains a reality in God's post-flood new creation. So again, it's out with the old, in with the new, but the same problems of sin and death remain. Verse 28 and 29. After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. Noah lived a total of 950 years, and then he died. And so what we learn is this. Well, we learn that the Noah story does not end with the beautiful rainbow. There is a sequel to the Noah story, a very ugly sequel. We also learn that nothing has changed. From chapters 5 to chapter 9, nothing has changed. The whole face of the world has changed, yet humanity remains the same. Sinful human nature remains. Death remains. We are still no better off after the flood than we were before. But we also see, on a more positive note, that sin will not have the final say. That sin will not have the last laugh. And there is a clue in the narrative that God will do this. And the clue is back when it says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be a slave to Shem." Canaan, who will represent sin later on in the Bible, and will be enemies of God and God's people, will be overpowered. Sin will not have the last laugh. Canaan will be a slave to Shem. The other thing we get from this passage when we step back from it is that what we need is not just a new creation, but a new humanity as well. In the post-flood new creation, humanity remained the same. Sin entered the ark with Noah and his family. Sin got off board the ark with Noah and his family. Therefore, what is ultimately needed is not just a new creation, but a new humanity as well. And thanks be to God, there will be somebody who delivers both. His name is Jesus. And this is what it says about him to us in 2 Corinthians 5:16. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." You see, Jesus brings with him not just a new creation, but a new humanity as well, making us into his new creation also. And I want to finish by saying that the Bible still remembers and recognizes Noah as a righteous person. Hebrews 11 testifies this. Because I've given Noah a bit of a hard time today, but the Bible still remembers Noah as a righteous person. However, we do not get our righteousness from Noah. We are not saved by Noah's righteousness. No, we are saved by grace. We are saved by faith in the Son of God, whose love covers a multitude of sins. Jesus was stripped naked and publicly humiliated in a different way to Noah on the cross. Jesus was stripped naked and publicly humiliated on the cross for our sin. But why? Because his love covers all our sin. And so we are not saved by Noah's righteousness. We are saved by Jesus' righteousness. And in the process, we receive his righteousness as well. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Please join me in prayer. Father God, we are sorry for our sin. whether our sin has been deliberate against you, a deliberate act of defiance, or whether we're sinning and we don't even know that we're doing it. Father, we are completely sorry for our sin this evening. Please help us to learn lessons from Noah and Ham in this story, to avoid the sins that they were caught up in. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that your love covers a multitude of sin, that your love covers all our sin. We thank you for your ongoing grace that is extended right throughout the Bible and to us. And we look forward to that day when we won't just enjoy a new creation, but we will completely enjoy a new humanity as well, where there will be no more sin or mourning or crying or pain. And we thank you for this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.